from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo highlights the difficulty level to invest in some regions. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says no change in planned visit to Afghanistan. Indonesian Health Ministry emphasized the importance of family independence on the National Nutrition Day. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo highlighted high difficulty level faced by investors in doing business in the region. In the government working meeting on acceleration of implementation of the State Palace Jakarta on Tuesday, the president cited the high interest of investors to invest in the country but often hampered by licensing issues. In the meeting, attended by a number of working cabinet ministers and regional leaders, the president said that Indonesia has gained international trust to invest. It should be supported by the facility through easy licensing scheme, both at the central and regional levels.
Ribuan investor yang ingin masuk ke negara kita, tapi problemnya adalah di dalam.
Thousands of investors want to enter our country, but the problem lies on the licensing affairs that hampering investments. Therefore, we invite all the governors, the regional house chairman, to make a guidance and mutual visions to solve the problem. Because we want to build a single submission preceded by forming the task force, especially in the central, which will be connected with the destination areas of investments. So, we are in one mindset to solve the problem. The president further said the government has issued various packages of economic policies that have been issued by the central government but have not been acted by the regional heads. According to the president, it will reduce Indonesia's competitiveness if compared with the ease of doing business in other countries. According to the president, Indonesia's low competitiveness is due to licensing difficulties and the number of requirements that should be met by investors so that they turn to invest in other countries. The president urged the regional heads to no longer issue local regulation that actually can hamper inflow of investment to the country. The United States Defense Minister Jim Mattis visited Indonesia on January 22 to 24, 2018. Member of House Commission 1, Dave Akbarsyah Fikarno said, Jim Mattis' visit to Indonesia shows that Indonesia has a strategic and important position on the defense side. He emphasized to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Tuesday, on the defense side, any form of cooperation built by both countries should prioritize on the sovereignty and Indonesian interest. According to Dave, there are various forms of cooperation that can be built by both countries, such as counter-terrorism and human trafficking.
Indonesia ini memiliki posisi yang penting lah di dalam di kawasan regional Asia Pasifik.
Nah, Amerika. Indonesia has an important position in the Asia Pacific region. While America and its neighbors have a number of rich border patrol agreements, also monitoring people smuggling, drug smuggling, or counter-terrorism. Indonesia also has the same problems. Well, this can be the material that is discussed also, and also to reach agreement between Indonesia and America to overcome these problems. Dave Akbarsyah further explained that in the field of counterterrorism, Indonesia and the U.S. can cooperate through sharing information, training, discuss terrorism cells that are supervised by America. In the maritime field, Dave said, Indonesia can discuss and consider in advance the request of America to open the sea lane to be able to cross the northern part of Java Island. According to him, there should be considered the interest and advantage why Indonesia should open a special path for America. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said he had no intentions of changing his planned visit to Afghanistan despite security problems in the conflict-torn country. The president said in Palembang, South Sumatra on Monday that he wants to see the real condition in Kabul and Afghanistan in general. The president will hold state visit to Afghanistan toward the end of this month on request to help create peace in that country long stricken by civil war. Earlier, Indonesian Foreign Ministry has said the planned visit is to honor an Afghan request for Indonesian involvement in peace building in that country. Retno said there are a number of meetings supported by Indonesia to create peace in Afghanistan. Adding Indonesia pledge aid such as training, exchange of ulema leaders to end women's empowerment. Afghan First Lady, therefore, visited the country to discuss women empowerment for peace for economic empowerment. The Indonesian government has built a mosque named As-Salam at the Indonesian Islamic Center, ICC, in Kabul. The visit to Afghanistan will be part of state visits to five Asian countries, also including Sri Lanka, India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. President Jokowi will also attend the Asian-India Summit meeting in New Delhi to discuss maritime affairs and international and regional issues. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. National Nutrition Day is commemorated every January 25th, and this year is the 58th anniversary. This year's sub-theme is Together Preventing Stunting Through Family Independence. Director of Nutrition's, Director General of Nutrition and Maternal and Child Health, Ministry of Health, Dodi Iswardi explained, there is a decrease in the number of malnutrition every year in Indonesia. In a special interview with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Monday, he said that based on the monitoring status of nutrition in 2017, the number of children with underweight or lack of nutrition has decreased. Ahead of the National Nutrition Day commemoration, he asked people to sympathize and learn from the extraordinary condition of malnutrition in Asmat, Papua, so that the condition of malnutrition will never happen in the future. According to him, nutritional problems can be overcome with education about nutrition and health.
Yang paling vital itu adalah bagaimana membangun sumber daya manusianya. Nah, karena dari di sini kita
the most vital thing is to build the resources. In this nutritional day, we can spare stunting by the first 1,000 days of life with family independence. So we take the smallest, the core. 1,000 days of life is starting from pregnant up to 2 years, so she can take her nutrition, so she did not give birth to a child with low birth weight. Dodi further explained knowledge and attitudes of parents about the fulfilling their children's need of nutrition clearly determine the nutritional status of children. The nutritional status of children is closely related to the knowledge and attitude of parents in providing food. The nutrition program that has been implemented by the government has contributed to the prevention of nutrition problems. Their needs to make efforts by accelerating nutrition's improvement, which is declared by the government through Presidential Regulation No. 42-2013 on the National Movement for the Acceleration of Nutrition Improvement with priority on the first 1,000 day of life. The Indonesian government has conducted quick response to the extraordinary condition of malnutrition and masles in Asmat Regency, Papua Province. Director of Nutrition, Director General of Nutrition and Maternal and Children Health, Ministry of Health, Dodi Iswardi explained that the Director General has sent a flying healthcare team, which consists of 39 health workers from various professions, to meet the needs of health services at various districts in Asmat Regency. In a special interview with RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Monday, he said that 1.2 tons of medicine has been distributed. To meet the nutrition needs of toddlers in Asmat Regency, Indonesian Ministry of Health has sent toddlers food supplement for pregnant mothers and children food supplement from central food reserves. Previously, toddlers food supplements and food supplement for pregnant mother have also been sent from the reserve of Papua Province. Meanwhile, food supplement for infants and food supplement for pregnant mothers have been sent in cooperation with Indonesian military.
Nah, tapi sekarang ini sudah dilakukan oleh pemerintah, ya. Semua sudah dikirim makanan.
The assistance has been done by the government by sending food. Indonesian military and Indonesian police, churches, stakeholders have provided various assistance. We also serve immunization and help to educate them. The total population is only 105,000, but they are nomadic and we must use boats to reach them.
Dodi further explained, Asmat Regency has a very difficult geographical condition to reach. Asmat Regency generally consists of swamps, so the source of food is very limited. The source of clean water only relies on rain, which results in inadequate sanitation. People lived in the forest and nomadic, so that the coverage of immunization is low. Although it has been done maximal efforts by health personnel, it can't increase immunization coverage and vitamin A supplement distribution optimally. An earthquake hits Jakarta and its surrounding areas on Tuesday, January 23rd at 13:34 Western Indonesia time. According to the Meteorological, Climatology and Geophysic Agency, the quake has a magnitude of 6.4 Richter scale. The agency's site stated that the epicenter was located in Lebak, Banten province, with a depth of 10 kilometers. No tsunami warnings had been issued. In Jakarta, the considerably strong quakes caused people who are in tall buildings to come running out from their offices. Indonesian President Joko Widodo told leaders of the Indonesian Military 10E and the National Police on Tuesday to maintain their neutrality during this year's regional election and the presidential election next year. National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian told reporters after Jokowi gave his speech in a closed-door meeting at 10E headquarters in Cilangkap, East Jakarta, on Tuesday. The president's main emphasis is to have the police and the military maintain neutrality. The meeting, which was attended by 359 military and police generals, marked security discussions ahead of the two elections, which are predicted to be marred by tensions, particularly in some of the 171 participating regions in the simultaneous regional election. Each of the two institutions is set to conduct a more detailed discussion separately after Tuesday's joint meeting. The president also instructed the police and military to map conflict potentials in the 171 regions to build synergy in dealing with those conflict potentials. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
This is a rival service, Voice of Indonesia with commentary. The title of today's commentary is National Food Policy and Data Accuracy. Food, especially rice, has remained the main need of Indonesian people up to now. Thus, food sovereignty becomes one of the agendas in the National Medium-Term Development Plan for 2015-2019. At the opening of the National Congress of HITMI 15 in Bandung, West Japan, January 12, 2015, President Joko Widodo urged Minister of Agriculture to be self-sufficient in food within the next 3 years. Which means this year, 2018. Self-sufficiency starts from rice and then the next one is other food. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo believed that there would be no rice import after 3 years. In fact, price hike or rice has risen significantly since December 2017. Minister of Trade decided to import rice of 500,000 tons targeted to arrive in Indonesia by the end of January 2018. Later, the government's plan to import rice by the end of January is considered too close with the harvest that will fall in March 2017. There is a possibility that the distribution of imported rice will actually make the rice farmers disadvantaged. Quoting the report of Liputan6.com on January 16, 2018, rice import is conducted to ensure the availability of rice supply across Indonesia and reduce the price of rice in the market. The price of rice has risen because of inaccurate rice production data. Agriculture Observer of Difficulty of Agriculture at Bogor Agricultural Institute, Professor Dwi Andreas Santos, views that the price hike of rice can be overcome if the available data is accurate. So far, the rice prices have often risen because production data and consumption are not correct. Meanwhile, member of Indonesian Ombudsman Ahmad Alamsyah Saragi stated that the Minister of Agriculture stated that so far the production of rice is surplus and stored is enough. However, the statement is based only on estimates of our respective area and grain production without the concrete amount and distribution of rice stocks. Actually, the data believed to be accurate, especially related to the availability of rice, can be seen from rice movements. The basic principle taken is a balance between demand and supply, which is generally applied. The more rice stock is, the lower the rice price is, and vice versa. Inaccurate data related to national rice stocks needs to be fixed immediately because this has the potential to make the government take wrong policies. In regard to this, the Ombudsman advised the government to provide strong support for the Central Bureau of Statistics BPS in the bid to issue more accurate data on rice production and stock. It is time for the government, mainly the Minister of Agriculture, to evaluate the data sources used as the basis of national food policies. The policies should be based on research results according to the facts on the field, instead of estimate only. So there will be no more policies that may make the farmers disadvantaged. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with January the 23rd, 1919. The Italian Fascist Party is established. Fascist Party led by Benito Mussolini was founded on January the 23rd, 1919. The formation of this party is based on the desire to overhaul the power of the Roman Empire. The group, whose members always wear black shirts, adheres to the doctrine of dictatorship. In 1922, Mussolini and his cliques ruled the city of Rome. He appointed himself the ruler of Italy with the post of prime minister. He then gradually widened his power throughout Italy. However, in 1945, when World War II ended, Mussolini was captured by an Italian nationalist group and was eventually executed by the group. Switch now to January the 23rd, 1947, Megawati Soekarnoputri is born. Megawati Soekarnoputri, who was born in Yogyakarta, January 24, 1947, was the fifth president of Indonesia who served from July 23, 2001 until October 20, 2004. She was the first Indonesian woman president and daughter of the first Indonesian president Sukarno. On September 20, 2004, she lost to Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono in the second round of the presidential election in 2004. Megawati became president after the MPR convened a special session of the People's Consultative Assembly in 2001 held in response to President Abdurrahman Wahid or Gus Dur's freeze of MPR-DPR and Golkar Party. She was inaugurated on July the 23rd, 2001. Previously, from 1999 to 2001, she served as vice president in the government of President Abdurrahman Wahid. Megawati is also chairman of the Indonesian Democratic Party of struggle since she broke away from the Indonesian Democratic Party in 1999. The last item in today in history is from January the 23rd, 1950. Knesset announces Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. On January the 23rd, 1950, the Israeli Parliament Knesset announced Baitul Maqdis as the capital of Israel. This announcement is only 2 years after the formation of Israel's illegal state. This announcement immediately got a strong reaction from Arab countries and Muslims because Jerusalem is one of the holy cities of Muslims and has been a place of Muslim prayer. As a result of widespread opposition, Israel made efforts to gain recognition from the world's countries relating to the transfer of the capital from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, but did not receive the desired effect. Countries in the world are reluctant to move their embassy offices from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Well, that was Today in History of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with regular segment My Indonesia. The topic of My Indonesia today is Indonesia has actualized tolerance salon. Tolerance is an attitude to mutually respect among groups or individuals in society or in other spheres. Tolerance avoids discrimination, despite the fact that there are many different groups within a community. The Indonesian nation has long known and even applied the attitude of tolerance in life. Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, Impiar Zulkifli Hasan, in the Nationality Safari event in Bandung, West Java on last Thursday, said that the people of Indonesia do not need to be touched about tolerance because Indonesia is a plural country and accustomed to mutual respect. He also said that the people of Indonesia had practiced tolerance for a long time and this has become part of everyday life. Zulkifli Hasan views that tolerance is one element of the noble values of the Indonesian nation since the beginning. Other countries should learn about tolerance from Indonesia. Indonesian diversity in region, as in religion, language, ethnicity, and race, is extraordinary compared to other countries. These conditions help build a sense of high respect for each other. In addition, Chairman of the MPR Zulkifli Hasan also explained that other nations greatly appreciate and are impressed with their tolerance in Indonesia. He assessed that if there is little friction, especially relating to the regional head and general elections, that's natural provided that all the people still uphold the unity of the nation. Tolerance has relevance with the second point of Pancasila, the just and civilized humanity, like recognizing the equality of rights and basic obligation of every human being without distinction of race, heredity, religion, sex, color, and so on. Secondly, it's the attitude of mutual love of human beings. Thirdly, it is developing an attitude of tolerance. Fourthly, it is developing an attitude of non-arbitrarily to others. Fifthly, it is upholding the value of humanity and others. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said he had no intentions of changing his planned visit to Afghanistan despite security problems in the conflict-torn country. An earthquake hits Jakarta and its surrounding areas on Tuesday, January 23rd at 13:34 Western Indonesia time. Indonesian President Joko Widodo told leaders of the Indonesian military and the National Police on Tuesday to maintain their neutrality during this year's regional election and the presidential election next year. That was News in Brief of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Aceh Province to know about Sange Coffee, so stay tuned. Listener, especially those who are coffee lovers, you have to visit Indonesia because Indonesia is rich with local coffee with a variety of tastes. There is also an interesting way to serve coffee that you can find in various regions in Indonesia, such as kopi jos, kopi durian, kopi tarik, as well as kopi tubruk. When you visit Aceh, try to enjoy it with a unique blend of Aceh typical coffee and the coffee shops scattered in various areas in Aceh. In general, the coffee shops in Aceh will offer you Sange Coffee, a blend of black coffee with milk. Listener, Sange Coffee was originally called Sangeng Coffee. In a Chinese local language, Sangeng means full. It is because the dose of coffee and milk in Sangeng Coffee much less than coffee milk in general. It makes the price much cheaper than ordinary milk coffee. The name of Sangeng then changed to Sange because in 1990s, Sangeng Coffee was popular among students since the price is cheap. So the name Sange comes up, which stands for mutual understanding. Listener, besides having a unique story, the typical coffee of Aceh also has uniqueness for its presentation. Originally, black coffee powder was put into a cloth filter. Then the boiling water poured into the filter for several times. The filtered coffee will be stretched for several times, alternately, and will move to a different mug or glass repeatedly. The simple way, similar to the making process of teh tarik. After that, the coffee is then poured into a cup that has contained sweet condensed milk. The dosage of milk should only reach the bottom line of the glass. The coffee that has been mixed with milk then shaken until frothy. Finally, the Sange coffee is ready to be served. Thank you. Although the dose is less than coffee milk in general, sangye coffee has a different taste sensation. The coffee also has a distinctive aroma. When enjoyed, the coffee taste is very strong, with a little sweet taste of milk. To get a glass of sangye coffee, you only need to pay 10,000 rupiah to 15,000 rupiah. The price depends on the type of Robusta or Arabica coffee and the way to serve is hot or cold. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic sangye coffee. Tomorrow, we will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and guiding you to use them in conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Cultures of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Pusat Jajan di mana, or in English, Where is the Food Court? First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Pusat jajan. Pusat jajan. In English, food court. Di mana? Di mana? Where? Sekarang? Sekarang? Now. Jam berapa? Jam berapa? What time is it? Kenapa? Kenapa? Why? Jam 1 siang. Jam 1 siang, 1 p.m. Lapar, lapar, hungry. Makan, makan, to eat. Melihat, lihat, melihat, lihat. To look around. More, in English, more. Tahu, tahu, to know. Tanya, tanya, to ask. Penerangan, penerangan, information. Permisi, maaf. Permisi, maaf, excuse me. Lantai 5, lantai 5, fifth floor. Next is an example of conversation on pusat jajan di mana, or in English, where is the food court? As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Nova and Novi at the mall. Sekarang jam berapa ya? Sekarang jam berapa ya? In English, what time is it now? Sudah jam 1 siang, kenapa? Sudah jam 1 siang, kenapa? In English, it's already 1 p.m. Why? Saya lapar sekali, bagaimana kalau kita makan dulu? Saya lapar sekali, bagaimana kalau kita makan dulu? I'm starving, how about eating something first? Baiklah, setelah itu kita melihat-lihat lagi. Baiklah, setelah itu kita melihat-lihat lagi. Okay, after that we look around again. Oh ya, di mall ini pusat jajan ada di mana? Oh ya, di mall ini pusat jajan ada di mana? In English, oh yes. Where is the food court? Here. Apakah kamu tahu? Apakah kamu tahu? Do you know? Saya juga tidak tahu. Mari kita tanya bagian penerangan. Saya juga tidak tahu. Mari kita tanya bagian penerangan. In English, I don't know either. Let's ask the information desk. At the information. Maaf, mau tanya pusat jajan di mana? Maaf, mau tanya pusat jajan di mana? In English, excuse me, where is the food court? Ada di lantai 5, Bu. Ada di lantai 5, Bu. It's on the 5th floor, ma'am. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. Thank you. To ask about a location or place, you can use a word in Indonesian like di mana. It means where. In the conversation, Novi wants to know where food court is. If you would like to inquire about the location of a place to eat or snack center, you may ask pusat jajan di mana, which is in English, where is the food court? To answer the question, you can point at the place and say di sana, which means there, or di sini, which means here, depending on the location. To start a conversation, if you want to ask something or to a person you just met, it is recommended using the word permisi, which means excuse me. You can also say, maaf, boleh saya bertanya? Which means, sorry, may I ask? That was today's edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. Let's meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Till we meet again.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present dangdut songs entitled Meragu by Rafli as the first presentation of Music Corner for today. Happy listening.
Haruskah ku menunggu?
Owner, that was the dangdut song entitled Meragu, sung by Rafli. The song tells the anxiety that suddenly felt by someone who is afraid of losing the beloved one. This is then expressed in poems and tones. The song Meragu was composed by Ridwan Sa'u in October 2017, and the music was arranged by Ricky Sonat too. It is sad lyrics. In 2017, Rafli also released another single entitled Sangdara. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Sangdara by Rafli.
Sayangku, aku cinta kepadamu. Sandara, betapa ku mencintamu, betapa ku menyayangmu, ku selalu merindukanmu. Sandara, betapa ku mencintamu, betapa ku menyayangmu, kau selalu di hatiku.
Dangdut singer with full name Muhammad Rafli Heriawan was awarded his singing talent from childhood. Since childhood, he was used to sing in many stages. His name began to be known as a dangdut singer as he followed the dangdut singing contest in one of the national private television. Although he failed to win the event, roughly a melodious voice singer, already preferred dangdut lovers in the country. In October 2017, he released two singles such as the song entitled Sangdara, which you've just listened before. This song tells the story of someone who falls in love with a lover. He hopes the lover will not abandon him and betray him. In contrast to Rafli's formerly melodious song, the song entitled Sangdara is more upbeat, making it invite you to sway. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Bidadari Jiwa and Bunga Surgawi. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Bagaikan dalam bumi empat penjuru, biar mati kau tetap ku buru, biar mati kau tetap ku tunggu. Dalam hati hanya kamu, jadi ratu, jadi dewi hati. Wow.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.